Birmingham, of course, we have the advantage of our cost structure being still at this point anyway, a fraction might be overdoing it, but not as expensive as it is in Atlanta.
Right.
But you have to understand that we shift a huge amount of X thousands of dollars a month from that cost structure to our program because we have very expensive shows. And if, to sustain a strong program without having to make, let's call it concessions in your program. You know, I don't have to show, thanks to the program and thanks to shifting a huge amount of financial resources from our cost structure to program, we have had such a, say, positive response, really, which is translated in our case, of course, into sales, as we're a commercial gallery, but also a nationwide exposure and a very, very, very good reputation all over the U.S. And over 3+ years' time, this has, again, resulted in people talking. So basically, the word-to-mouth effect about our program, about our gallery, about the artists, of course, who show with us, has resulted into a very, very good ad. Basically, when I say to even local, you know, collectors or Birmingham or Alabama or southern, you know, collectors, hey, you should look at us, etc.
Mm-hmm.
But bottom line is, I mean, we can put flowers around it, but it's me pimping my artists. I mean, that's what we do, you know, and it comes over very pushy, very pushing. Whereas when these collectors, whatever level they are, hear about us from other collectors, from New York, from Chicago, from San Francisco, from LA, or from museums, well, it's a totally different introduction, of course, and it's such a shortcut to really their interest. And then basically, just like our interview, it caters to the idea, what, of all places in Birmingham, Alabama, let me check these guys out. And they go on the website. Because today, of course, I mean, the website is such an important platform, such an important tool that tells so many stories about us. You go on a gallery's website, you see the artists they show or represent, like in our case, represent. You go on their future, you know, exhibitions, on their past exhibitions. You really can make a read on a gallery within 20, 30 minutes time max, and actually even within 10. So, I think this is really where the world has, the art world, whatever that term is worth, has changed tremendously in the past, maybe, you know, 5 to 10 years at least.
Right.
So it's a big advantage for us because I always, maybe jokingly, but not so jokingly, say, guys, you know, we are in Birmingham, Alabama. You can't idealize this. It's a fact. We are not in New York City. We're not located in Chelsea, in New York City, in Manhattan. We're not in L.A., we're in Birmingham, Alabama,
right.
And we have to work 3 times hard to get the word out. It's just a fact. It's just in the numbers. We don't get hundreds and hundreds of people in during exhibitions, or thousands, as a matter of fact, but we have strong openings, and we have, of course, strong visitors. But we have to cater to potential collectors on a totally different way. We are very, very strong when it comes to newsletters. We bring our artists out more and more now to art fairs because this is probably the new platform for nationwide exposure, mm-hmm. Let's say it that way. And I think that besides possible sales at art fairs, I think it's important to make a statement as for what your gallery stands for or wishes to stand for so that people get a read and then again maybe are intrigued to, you know, to purchase a piece at the art fair, or at least to talk to you and get a closer, better read on what the hell does this guy do in Birmingham, Alabama, with a gallery. Realize also that we publish books. We are, you know, working on our 10th and 11th books right now, which are mini biographies, if I may say so, of some of our artists, rather than exhibition catalogs. We push it a little further. We always try to have a, you know, kind of a hardcover. Ask basically 2 or 3 writers to write interesting essays that relate from various angles to that body of work of said artist. We might have poetry in it, etc. So you bring it from a level which, you know, which might be perceived as, oh, that's an exhibition catalog, show catalog.
Right.
Bring it to the level of being perceived really as a book. We have a very, very small gallery. We don't have employees. We just really focus a long time in advance. We schedule up to 3+ years out in advance for various reasons. We got to do it. We got to be organized. But also, as I said previously, to get several artists who want to be on board to oh, gosh, yeah, I have time to create a specific body of work for that gallery. There are floor plans. There is, of course, geographic location. All of these things cater then, of course, to that notion of site-specific exhibitions, like we did with Mark Flott 2 months ago or 3 months ago. Time flies. We have started to talk to Houston-based artist Mark Flott over two and a half years ago. And finally, this year in May, we had the show, which was called Facebook Farm, which was a complete body of work. The artist created this for our two exhibition spaces. So you have to really schedule all these things long time in advance, and then sometimes magical things happen. Mark Flott has had a tremendous, you know, exposure internationally over the past few years since we started talking, and suddenly, you know, it's really funny, actually, but then suddenly you realize that last year he had several shows, 3 shows in New York City, got, you know, from the New York Times to whatever, and then suddenly he has his show in Birmingham, Alabama, of all places, and then within the next 18 months, since our show in May, he has Birmingham, Berlin, London, New York. So, yeah. but it's also funny, of course. It's also funny. But then, thanks to the program and the perception of our gallery, of course, artists such as Mark Flott, Willy Golan, and all our artists are really excited, because suddenly it's like, yeah, this is an interesting platform for experiment also. Not often, I think, that actually an artist gets, in the most, in clear terms, really carte blanche. Mm-hmm. You know, whatever it is, you do it. I mean, there are from security to budget limitations, if those things have to be addressed. You know, be it also logistic, we have logistic limitations. I don't know, a windmill from the Netherlands for an exhibition, or God knows what, because sometimes artists have fascinating ideas, but we just can't do that because we don't have a financial arm to do this. But in the truest terms, you know, carte blanche is, hey, whatever you get a kick out of. And, you know, if somebody has to fly in to check out the space, really, because a floor plan is a floor plan, and we can give a lot of information on the floor plan and kind of spice it up with a lot of on-site photographs or so on, but sometimes you want to really sniff the air of a space.
Right.
And you have suddenly, oh gosh, yes, I get it. So all of these things are things that we do, because it is sometimes a long process, because I really cater to the idea of the artist not only having carte blanche, but also really doing something he or she gets a total kick out of.
Right.
And the hands, you know, sometimes, you know, for some artists, 12 months is more than enough to prepare a body of work, various reasons. You know, some are just like faster or are not so tied up in a particular time. And for others, they really need 3 or 4 years to get something going for you.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's a fascinating métier. It's the most beautiful job in the world.
That's great. Yeah? Thank you so much.
Some people are very, very frustrated because, I mean, sometimes I see ladies, they're frustrated because their husband got transferred to Birmingham.
Yeah.
Or I see, you know, young kids, because of the last, you know, couple of years, they finished studying and they, quote unquote, had to move back in with their parents, and they were living like in Kansas City or Louisville or San Francisco, and now they find their, you know, excuse the language, asses back in Birmingham.
Right.
And a lot of these stories of, what am I going to do here? I'm so bored.
Right.
And I totally advocate the entire time for the idea of, no, people, you know, a place is what you bring to the table, what you make out of it. I'm sorry. You can't just go ahead and victimize yourself. Oh, my God, what am I going to do? I'm going to die. I want to die. You know, you have this drama, you know, because they're in Birmingham, Alabama. And then you tell them, listen, guys, I mean, have you been to the Civil Rights Institute? Have you been to the museum? Have you had, you know, take your car, drive 2 hours. You're in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
Drive a couple of hours, visit Elvis, do something. One of the reasons why we moved here, and everybody tells me, are you crazy? But, you know, we moved here from New York. We were pregnant, and we can't, don't want, don't have the financial on anyway.
Right.
Nor the nerve, probably, to raise children in Manhattan. And before I move upstate New York and to the snow or to Greenwich, Connecticut, and have to commute 2+ hours, why would I not want to move to the South? Because of that stigmatic image, it just doesn't mean anything to
me.
when we said to our friends in Europe, hey, we're going to move to Alabama, everybody was like, oh, gosh, are you rich? You're moving to the south, like a couple of hours only from the coast? Alabama, probably Mississippi, too, and Louisiana to a certain extent, definitely too. Well, we don't do a great job in advertising ourselves as a changed place, as a place where we, with a lot of possibilities. We don't. But then again, we only get, you know, full nationwide attention and exposure in the media when we have police beatings and corruption cases.
Yeah.
So, but yes, we do. We have corruption. Yes, we have police beatings. We are, it's terrible. And we just, as a state, don't do a great job at all to get the word out about possibilities. I draw that parallel because when we visited, my wife and I, first of all, Alabama was a thing that was never planned. Never was planned. We visited clients down here because for 10 years we're dealers in New York. We have dealers in New York. I still have a company in New York. But what happens, all the southern clients, we have more clients in Texas and in Florida, of course, than that thing in Mississippi or Alabama. But when the southerners come up to New York, well, they love to eat, they love to go out, they stay for 3-4 days, so you got to treat them out a little bit. You get to know them, and what happens each time, of course, they invite you back over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
And after 2 or 3 years saying the truth, really, hey, guys, listen, I have no time. I mean, we're running 2 galleries in New York,
yeah,
in Tribeca. I don't have time to come on a long weekend to Alabama. Well, bottom line is, when they visited you 3 times and you still haven't come down, well, you start feeling rude. Rightfully so. So we said, well, next summer we're going to come. We're just going to hang out for a long weekend. And of course, by the time we came, we had learned 3+ months before they were going to have a little one. So you look totally differently at this.
Right.
The weather, the food. You can come down here and really do something. And if you do it, and if you do it well, chances are you'll be the best in town because you'll be the only one doing it.
Yeah, definitely.
And this is always the same, you know, wherever life brings you. Whatever, and that's not, I'm not here on a spiritual trip. If you go somewhere, whatever life brings you, just rethink things and just do something.
Yeah.
And if you work and are good at it and get a kick out of it, especially because we really love what we do, I mean, you can't beat that.
Yeah.
You can't beat the feeling and you can't beat the results.